couple by the name of Floyd and Rosemary met at a USO dance at McGuire Air Force Base and instantly became smitten. He was a small town Air Force boy from Arkansas on duty and stationed at the Air Force Base. And she was a local girl out for a night with her girlfriends, just barely out of high school. They instantly fell in love and spent much time together as they could between his busy training schedule and the challenges of military dating. In November of 1954, the inevitable happened, and Floyd's division was called out to serve in Korea, in the Korean War. They were given 2 days to pack their things, say goodbye to their families and friends, and prepare their departure for Okinawa, Japan. The day came when he would depart, so the couple vowed to stay in touch with letters when they could, but they both knew it would be a challenge, especially in the time of war. But it was certainly a challenge they were both up for. Their love had grown strong through the years, and they were ready to plan a future together. The holidays came around too quickly that year, and Rosemary busied herself with work and friends and family, trying to block out the fact that she wouldn't be spending Christmas with the love of her life. It was truly her favorite time of year, but this year wouldn't be the same. They had written letters, but it was almost certain that Floyd's division would remain in Japan until well into the new year and possibly the next, and it would be months and maybe even years before she would see him again. That fact proven to be true when she learned after almost 13 months that he would in fact remain overseas longer than planned, at least until February 1956. Christmas Day 1955 quickly approached, and Rosemary, being the oldest of four children and a part of a large family, witnessed the house come to life with laughter and holiday cheer, as it did year after year. Family was from out of town, food was being prepared for a feast later that day, and gifts were strewn around the house. It was the usual holiday havoc the family enjoyed so much. Her father had the radio on to enjoy the sounds of the season, and it would have been just perfect if only Floyd were with them to share in the festivities. She had written him only a few days prior to Christmas, and trying to remain brave, told him she loved him and would be fine without him over the holidays, that he should focus on his job and not worry about her. They would have many holidays to enjoy together down the road. As the family gathered to exchange presents, the Christmas music filled the house. As the radio announcer began to speak and wished his listeners a happy holiday, Rosemary's father quieted the family and encouraged them to turn their attention to the radio. The announcer began to tell a story of a young couple from the area who, like many others, had been separated by the war that holiday season. He spoke of their devotion to each other through letters during their separation for more than a year, and how the holidays were the hardest time when missing a loved one. The story touched the family, and Rosemary especially, had a lump in her throat as she listened to the story, very similar to her and Floyd's, being broadcast over the radio. It was all she could do to keep listening without breaking down when she heard the announcer dedicate a very special song to the couple, "I'll Be Home for Christmas." The dedication went out to a Rosemary Craig from her beloved airman, Floyd Cole, who through the military's Operation Santa had received an early leave from his service and was on his way home that very Christmas day. My parents, Floyd and Rosemary, got to spend that Christmas together in 1955, as they would for the next 50 years as husband and wife, and parents of two loving daughters. And every year since we could remember, it was a tradition to listen to Bing Crosby's "I'll Be Home for Christmas" on Christmas Day and share in the wonderful story from 1955. When my dad was sent home for Christmas, my mom passed away suddenly on Saturday, December 10th, 2005, just 2 weeks before Christmas Day. The funeral services were held that week, and we decided to decorate with poinsettias and play Christmas music during the services as a tribute to my mom's love for the holidays and how festive she had always made them for us. Of course, we had "I'll Be Home for the Holidays" playing in the soundtrack music, and every time it rang through the room, I would stop and smile, knowing the fact that my mom was truly home.
Even more than I usually do.
Open fire.
didn't have it quite as bad as some families in similar circumstances. We didn't have to live out on the streets. My father owned a car, and he, my mother, my brother, and I lived in it. It was a cramped existence, but at least we were out of the elements. This living arrangement worked fine during the warm months, but even the shelter of our car was not adequate for cold winter weather. During the winter, my father usually found us a place to stay, or someone to stay with, to get us indoors. It was one such winter that my story takes place. My father secured us a two-room kitchenette at a small town hotel in return for doing maintenance and room renovation work for the manager there. It was hardly tourist season, and so the room was not being used. There was a bedroom for my brother and I to share, and a small kitchen area attached to the main room that my parents slept in. It was heavenly when compared to sleeping in that car. For a few months, it was our home. Time passed as it has a way of doing. Before we knew it, it was Christmas time. We had no money, but at least we had each other and a roof over our heads. My mother was the type of woman that could make the best out of any situation, and she loved the holidays, especially Christmas. No matter what was going on in our lives, she always did her very best to make the holidays special for my brother and I. This Christmas would be no exception. On the night before Christmas, I saw her in the kitchen area, mixing together a little flour and some water. When I asked her what she was doing, she glanced over her shoulder and smiled. "I'm making paste." "Paste for what?" I asked. "Catherine Marie," she said. "I'm surprised. It's Christmas Eve. Don't you think this place could use some Christmas decorations?" I knew just what she meant then, and I ran to the other room to get a school box to help my crayons and scissors. When I returned with the supplies, we sat on the floor and began our work. We started by making a paper chain out of newspaper. We decided to hang that chain in the window to share our joy with anyone that might chance to walk by. Then we cut a square out of the side of a cracker box and we used that box to make a nativity scene. It was complete with figures of Mary, Joseph, the baby Jesus, stars and shepherds and an angel, anything that I could draw and cut out of a brown paper grocery bag. We folded the paper at the bottom to make the figures stand. Joy to the world, away in a manger, silent night, our decorations illustrated our songs. Hours later, our work was interrupted by a knock on the hotel room door. Our room opened to a small courtyard at the center of the hotel. When I opened the door, the first thing I noticed was that soft snowflakes had begun to swirl in the night sky. Then I noticed a large black garbage bag sitting in front of the door. I looked left and right. No one was there, so I peeked in the bag. The bag held wrapped presents for each of us and all of the ingredients to make a Christmas dinner. I saw my father send my mother a questioning glance. She just shook her head, smiled, and wiped the tears from her cheeks. We put our nativity scene on an end table in the place of a Christmas tree, and we stacked our presents below it. My father went back to watching the television, and my mother went to the kitchen to put away the food items. My brother and I sat by the window to watch the snow fall. We never did find out who left that bag. It was likely the hotel manager or a local church group. But one way or the other, I knew that God had a hand in it. My mother lost her battle with breast cancer this year. But that Christmas, my mother, my Christmas carol, helped to teach me a lesson that will live in my heart forever, and one that I can pass on to my own child. If you start by keeping the true meaning and joy of Christmas in your heart, all the rest will take care of itself.
Yes. except home indeed. I wrote to you a childhood fantasy. I'm all grown up now, still need help somehow. I'm not a child, but my heart still can dream. So here's my lifelong wish, my grown up Christmas day, not for myself.
Thank you. several years, and especially this time, we always end the tour by introducing everybody who's had a big part in it. I introduce the people on stage every single night, but there are so many people who work behind the scenes to make sure that the show goes off without a hitch, and they never, ever want to come out on stage, and so I'm sure they're not there. Yeah, they're hiding. Come on up. Come on out for a second. Jamie Braswell, come here. Mexico after this. My mother, my brother, and you can take a risk if you want to for just a second, just because I know your hands are falling off. There's no telling how long I'll talk tonight. Brother here tonight because we leave tomorrow on a UNICEF field visit to Mexico to survey the damage that was done during the floods in Yucatan over the past, several months, especially in November. 800,000 families lost their homes in Mexico, and as we sit here tonight and we head out with our families throughout the holidays, I want us all to remember the people, not just in Mexico, but the people all over the world and the people right here in the United States who are spending Christmas in a different way this year because they've lost or they've suffered such tragedy. UNICEF is launching a campaign this holiday season to raise money for the Mexican, those in Mexico who've suffered from the floods, and they have so many amazing causes and silent emergencies throughout the world that UNICEF works with. And I don't typically pitch this throughout the show. This past tour, I haven't done it, but I will tonight since we're leaving tomorrow to do that. You can find out more about our visit on UNICEFUSA.org and find out exactly what we've learned. And if UNICEF is not a cause that's important to you, that's understandable. There are so many different causes throughout this country, throughout this world, the region, everywhere that are so important. And as you sit down with your family over the holidays and you wonder about and you think about how fortunate we all are, remember those who are less fortunate, who are in need. And if it's not UNICEF, it might be an arts organization in your area. It might be an organization that works with people with a certain disease or affliction. It might be UNICEF. It might be something else. But make sure you spend the holiday and give back and make sure at the end of the year that we're not just sharing love with those who we care about and who we are close to, but that we share the love with people who don't get it so much throughout the year. And that's what this song talks about just a little bit. We leave you every year the same way with a challenge that you not wait until the end of the year or until I tell you to tell the people that you care about just how much you care about them. So turn to somebody next to you right now. You got 3 seconds to tell them that you love them and that next year you won't wait until December.
world.